Chapter 54. LP received a text from a number he didn't recognize. It's time we met. Who the fuck is this? LP thought to himself. I have a lot of explaining to do, and I'd like to give you an update in person. LP typed back, I don't know who this is. Someone from your past. How wonderfully vague, LP said out loud. The others in the room heard him and asked what he was talking about. I'm getting these weird texts from someone who says they know me and that they want to meet. That is vague, said Dion. LP's phone pinged again with a new text. It's about what you're working on, what you've discovered. He jumped as he read it and shouted out, Is one of you doing this? Are you playing jokes on me? And then everyone in the room shook their heads and looked at each other, and then at LP with quizzical looks on their faces. This is so bizarre, he said, trying to figure out what was going on. You four are the only ones who know I was trying to figure out what the glitches were all about. If you're not sending the texts... He paused for a few moments, and then Faith jumped in. Could someone else be monitoring us? She asked. Anything's possible in this day and age, Dion chimed in. Is there a number? Atman questioned. Yes, it looks like a number, but I can't make out where it might have come from, LP said. It looks like... He did a quick search for the area code. It's from the US, New York. Another text arrived. I'm in Toronto and would like to meet you. You won't have to make a long, arduous journey to come to me. I'll visit you. Can we meet at your apartment? The response seemed to anticipate LP's confusion about the texts and the possible location of the sender. LP, I'm going to need more information. Artius. Holy shit, LP said to himself, a flood of memories coming back to him about his days in London. He had to ask, LP, how do you know that name? I am that name, was the somewhat cryptic response. LP, how did we meet? LP had never told anyone about his meetings with Artius. Artius, London, 1999. And again, in 2003. I was a little more wild when we first met. It really is her, LP thought to himself. It had been nearly 20 years since he'd last seen her, and almost 15 since he'd left England. So, can we meet? Of course, he typed back. Let's meet later tonight. My apartment. LP, Faith and Dion were back at his apartment, waiting for Artius. He wanted his friends with him to help him calm his nerves, but also to witness what might happen with Artius. He really had no idea what to expect from his meeting with her. Dion was nursing a gin and soda, while Faith sipped on a glass of Riesling. LP was drinking water. How do you think she found out about what we were investigating? Faith asked. How should I know? LP exclaimed. It's fucking creepy is what it is. I didn't share this stuff with anyone outside of you two, Atman and Case. Dion seemed extremely relaxed and began poking fun at the situation. What I don't understand is... All of this? Why is everyone so bent out of shape about some glitches and a bunch of silly songs about animals? You make a good point, but this mysterious invite from LP's old friend, Faith said, putting friend in air quotes while giggling and gyrating her hips, seems to have punched up the intrigue meter to an 11 out of 10. LP was very distracted. The last time he had seen Artius, his life had hit the shitter. What might happen, he wondered, if he met up with someone who would bring back memories of very fluid times? Would he fall in love with her or want to be with her? Would her presence bring him to drinking again? Dion was reading his body language. Seriously, dude, stop making yourself frantic. You'll meet up with her, you'll catch up on the old times, and she'll give you a proper peck on the cheek goodbye. Closure. It's what you didn't get the last time, right? Dion was proving why she was great at sales. She could anticipate emotions and reactions like no one else. The knock on the door startled all of them, although it was very subtle. LP looked through the peephole and his heart stopped. Standing on the other side was the woman he knew as Artius. Her hair was cut much shorter than it had been 20 years ago, and it was a different color. The fiery red had faded to a light ginger with touches of blonde. Are you going to let me in or just gawk at me all night through the door? Artius called. Please. Behind him, LP could hear Dion and Faith chuckling to themselves as they witnessed LP in a state of complete emotional collapse. Open the door, LP. She said the magic word, Diane said. LP opened the door slowly. Once it was fully opened, Artius calmly stepped inside and embraced LP. I know I left things in a weird way all those years ago. I want to make it up to you, she said quietly in LP's ear as she hugged him. LP relaxed a little and then Dion teased, Should we leave? Who are you? Artius asked, then turned to LP. Aren't you going to introduce me to your friends? LP motioned towards Dion and Faith and simply said, Dion, Faith, meet Artius. Artius, meet Dion and Faith. They all nodded politely at each other and proceeded to find a comfortable spot in the apartment. Before anyone could say anything, Artius jumped in. In answer to your question, goddess of wine, please stay. I wanted to talk with all of you. But first... She fished what looked like a small spider from her shoulder bag and then looked around like she was making a quick calculation. Satisfied, she placed it in a spot that appeared to be in the center of the apartment. What's that? Faith asked. It's an electronic signal blocker, or ESB, she said warmly. It creates an analog bubble for us. No signals get in or out while it's on. Okay, mused Dion, looking at it curiously. Why do you need something like that? Faith asked. I'm going to bring you all up to speed with a number of projects that I'm working on. It will be a lot of private information that can't normally be shared with anyone because it will breach my contract obligations with my employer. What the fuck? LP said incredulously. I do not understand. You vaporized from my life 20 years ago, and then you come out of nowhere and pull all this cloak and dagger bullshit like I'm supposed to just say sign me up, and let's hear what you have to say. That's exactly what I need from you, Artius said coolly. We have to protect the research that we're doing because competitors might get wind of it and copy it. Okay, enough. It was Faith's turn to intervene. At first I didn't know how I got into this stuff, but I realized that I just wanted to help LP any way that I could. And it's weirdly fascinating. Same with Dion. You come in here with this crazy bug thing, telling us we're getting in your way. Let me start from the top. Artius interrupted. Please do, LP, Faith, and Dion said almost simultaneously. Before I get started here, she said, as she pulled a small plant from her bag. I know you're clean and dry, LP, and I'm proud of you. I would normally have brought a Grand Cru Burgundy for you, but hopefully this little lady will do. She set the plant on the table beside the ESB. It was a small cactus with about 1,000 tiny little yellow prickles all over the main bulbs. Ugh, LP, you quit at precisely the wrong time, Dion sighed, teasing him good-naturedly. We could be enjoying a $2,000 bottle of wine right now. Can I have some tap water? Artius asked LP. It's going to be a long story. When LP returned from the kitchen, the mood had completely changed. Artius, Dion, and Faith were laughing together in the living room, like old friends. LP thought to himself how lucky he was to have a couple of great friends who could break the ice with pretty much anyone. He was still feeling a little defensive and paranoid, but his fears of what might happen faded with every step he took towards Artius. Obviously, the name's not real, Artius was explaining. Artius was a bullshit name designed to give me a little cover while I figured out what to do with myself. It turns out I'm a kick-ass programmer and fantastic tech investor. I've gone down the road with several ventures, especially related to artificial intelligence, and I've been able to keep my name and image out of things. As you can appreciate, it's very hard to pull that off in this day and age. I still don't get it, LP said, taking a seat. So you've made some programs. You've built some tech. What does that have to do with me? And the music? I think it's important for me to start from the beginning, Artius reminded him. For starters, my name is Sylvie. For now, she said with a wink, trying to lighten the mood. Nice to meet you, Sylvie, Faith said, with her hand outstretched to shake. Likewise, Sylvie commented. As Sylvie, I'm currently in charge of most of the tech for a couple of very large media companies. I kind of have an idea of how you got there, but maybe a refresh would be in order, LP insisted. Sure, she said, and over the next several minutes she gave enough background on herself and her activities to bring the group up to speed. She didn't mind sharing more information, mainly because she was protected by her ESB. No signals would be coming in or out, including electronic signals via landlines such as LP's Ethernet connection or his Gaia Home, the Internet of Things speaker that doubled as a live search engine and trivia service. The group learned about her travels, how she'd learned foreign languages, discovered new parts of the world that they could only dream of. She told them about her involvement with different security and surveillance teams, ones that developed tools like the ESB, and eventually came around to her position with Holdfast, and how they were supporting her development of Gaia. "Wait a second," Dion interrupted. "You're the one who's behind Gaia. Isn't that, like, the most powerful AI platform in the universe right now?" Sylvie smiled smugly. "Indeed it is. We launched it 2 years ago, very quietly, before a number of other platforms came out. We wanted to make sure all the bugs were taken care of before making it widely available. It's only been available to the public for a few months, and it's done incredibly well." "No shit, it's done well," LP said, shaking his head in awe. "It's quickly becoming like the Library of Alexandria," he said, referring to the ancient library in Egypt that had supposedly held all the great texts ever written. "We are constantly adding new datasets and functionality that have people signing up to the tune of millions per day," Sylvie boasted. "However, one of the main tools that we've developed comprises a deep well of scientific research. We went live with the intent of analyzing a number of languages, including animal communication, and this is related to what you've discovered. Honestly, what you found with the songs was a completely unanticipated accident, and I've come to talk to you about what you're hoping to gain from all of this." She kept her voice as serene as she could, knowing that if she asked LP to stop his investigations, he would just double down on his obsession with the glitches. "What's it all about?" he asked. "Parts of Gaia," she started again, "are still under construction." It was her turn to do the air quotes. "And the glitch is simply an error that's being amplified as part of a bug in the programming." "I only just met you," Dion said, eyeing her speculatively, "but you don't seem like the kind of woman who would make a mistake." "Honest to God truth," Sylvie said, making a motion across her chest as though there was a religion to which she subscribed. "I just thought it would be appropriate to visit and explain what's happening before you went out to the internet or dive-bombed a Reddit chat lounge with all sorts of questions. What the glitch represents is some early-stage programs that are designed to try to send messages to different species of animals," she continued. "We've developed an array of networks, and sending communications via songs about animals was just a clever way to keep track of some of the songs that we were testing." "But it's probably not just songs that are related to animals, is it?" Faith asked. "And it's probably not just being aired on Spotify or other platforms, correct?" LP added. Sylvie sighed a little, trying to relax and encourage the group to be more at ease as well. "It's early in the build process, so it's mostly animal songs, but we've loaded the program into other tools as well." "Like?" Diane asked. "Like your Gaia home device, your cell phones, your car radio, pretty much everything that is capable of transmitting a signal. We're even doing a pilot test with Wi-Fi towers." "That's cool," Dion said. "But to what end?" "We're trying to develop protocols for communication with animals that will help execute certain activities, like pollination for bees, or warning cetaceans to avoid certain fishing areas or submarine activities. Early tests on the latter have shown that we've helped prevent several hundred whale beaching situations where radars and sonars fuck up their navigation." "But are you actually sending them a message in their language?" LP queried. "No, but we're very close." "So why do you want us to stop looking into this?" "We're worried that interference with Gaia and the language development program could alter results and possibly generate some negative responses from different creatures," Sylvia said. "It could even put people in danger." LP, Faith, and Dion looked uneasily at each other. They all seemed to have the same question on their faces. "Is she talking about us?" LP broke the silence. You mean accidents might happen or misinterpretations might affect people somewhere else in the world, right? You're not talking about us, are you? Sylvie laughed gently. Of course not. Oh my God, you didn't think... I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for it to sound that way. I'm just trying to say that the glitch that you've identified isn't worth worrying about. If the signals get manipulated or somehow go out incorrectly, the tests we're engaged in could result in a disaster, like whales might get a different message and attack a boat or something. That actually happened, Faith chimed in quickly. There was a story about orca whales smashing into the rudders of boats in a sanctuary area until regulators finally had to enforce a no-engine requirement. Exactly, Sylvie replied smoothly. I wouldn't want anyone to be harmed. Fine, Elpie said, sounding a little frustrated. But I still don't know where that leaves me. You're telling me to just drop what I've been doing, out of the blue, with no real explanation other than because. It's not really an option, Sylvie said firmly. Please understand, we have a lot riding on what's been developed to date and we don't want any outside interference or influence. I'm sorry. I just don't see how you can come in here and tell me what to do or not do, Elpie declared, frustration bubbling over to anger. It's no longer something you can control, she replied tersely. I think we're done here, Elpie said, as he got up and walked to the door. Please leave. He turned the handle and held it open, eyeing her coldly. Suit yourself, Sylvie said. She stood up from the couch, collected her ESB from the table, and walked to the entryway, where she paused and faced Elpie. Just give it a little time and hopefully we can connect again to talk about the big picture. We don't want you to be angry with us, and we certainly didn't want our discussion to end like this. Without replying, Elpie closed the door after Sylvie was gone. The three of them sat in the silence that followed, trying to calm down. Elpie in particular was steaming. I just don't understand, he exclaimed. 20 years go by, and then out of nowhere she comes in here telling me what I can and can't do with myself. It's absurd. Chill, man, Faith said quietly. To be honest, I didn't really understand what the big deal was, so there's a glitch, so there's a hidden code. Maybe they're doing something truly altruistic, like saving bee populations or something. Sure, she seems like the happy-go-lucky type who doesn't mind people getting in her way, Dione added, her voice dripping with sarcasm. That cute dominatrix in sheep's clothing approach to things must work for her all the time. Elpie let out a heavy sigh. Less than an hour ago, he'd felt like he had stumbled on something that would give him a sense of purpose, a mission, a problem to solve. And now that had all gone up in smoke. Faith tried to change the subject. Let's order a pizza. It'll be on me. Sounds good to me, Dion said demurely. I'd love to eat your pie. Give it a rest, you perv, Faith said, not minding that the attention had turned to her again. I'll order something up, Elpie said. As he logged into his phone, his face instantly went paler than a pile of bleached flour. Guys, are your phones working? Dion and Faith logged into their phones. Their faces mimicked Elpie's. What the fuck? Dion hissed. What the hell is going on? Faith demanded. That thing that she brought in here, Elpie declared, his voice rising in panic. I think it erased our electronics! That bitch! Dion shouted fiercely. God damn, did I ever misjudge her? Okay, guys, calm down. Let's have a little hope that we can figure this out, Faith said, trying to unwind the situation. Elpie ran to his computer. It was wiped too. He had a backup drive that was also wiped. He had no way of checking, but he was hopeful that the music that he had saved to his cloud account would at least be saved. He didn't care about the glitch project anymore. He slumped back down into his chair. For the first time in many years, he started to sob uncontrollably. Dion and Faith rushed over and threw their arms around him, making shushing noises. My life has been one train wreck after the other, Elpie said miserably, wiping his nose with the back of his hand. Just when I thought I was getting my shit together, that cunt comes back into my life and fucks everything up. He closed his eyes and rested his head on the back of his chair in defeat. I am lost,